So if you'll bow your heads with me, we'll run to Jesus together, okay? Father, we just want to honor you as Lord and as King, because we know that you and you alone know the fullness of every test and every individual. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, as I was searching the heart of my father, he took me, first of all, in the NIV, but then he transitioned to the Amplified, and I'd like you to come with me to Romans, the very last book of Romans, Romans chapter 16. In this particular chapter, Paul is really recognizing the men and the women who worked hard among him. He was recognizing the deaconesses in the church, and I could go on and on because it's just one after another. He's just saying salute, greetings, etc. Remember. And then it gets to verse 16. Greet one another with a holy consecrated kiss. All the churches of Christ the Messiah wish to be remembered to you. So he's not just giving a kiss of love, but he's also recognizing the churches and how they're being remembered. Remembered. Now that has a double meaning. That means reconnected. And that's part of that vision of those different columns, different types of columns, coming from different places to be used for his glory as he connects the body of Christ and the individuals that he chooses the way he wants it done. But then verse 17 says, I appeal to you, brethren, to be on your guard concerning those who create dissension. Did you ever go to a church that you've only visited a couple times and all of a sudden you've got some friends that come to meet you and they start warning you about this one and that one and this one and that one, and don't talk to this one and don't talk to that one and this one and that one, and it's atrocious. Instead of a love flow, you get a bunch of warnings. I went through that. Been there. Done that. Found that I had to turn people around and stop the garbage. Now, Paul is warning. I appeal to you, brethren, to be on your guard concerning those who create dissension and difficulties and cause division in opposition to the doctrines and teachings which you have been taught. I warn you to turn aside from them to avoid them. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean we walk away from those who love the Lord and try not to give them a better example? You might be giving them a better example just by asking them to consider praying for their enemies. You might even say, you know, I don't agree with you because God is in charge of this house of prayer, and I know that God wants to heal every single one here. Instead of warning how to bring division, it would be much easier to gather the saints together to intercede for those that are hurting. Verse 18. For such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites and base desires. And by ingratiating and flattering speech, they beguile the hearts of the unsuspecting and simple-minded people. For while your loyalty and obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you, I would have you well versed and wise as to what is good and innocent and guileless. as to what is evil. Now, I remember a prophetic word that had been given to an individual, and it was that they had no guile, no second motive, no underground going on. And the Lord, when I was working at another church many years ago, the Lord began to show me some of these who had come to me and wanted to work for the Lord. And you don't know who this is, so don't try to put your brain into it, because it's just going to fall. I'm not trying to point out people. I'm trying to point out negative forces. If I can get you to see that your battle is not against flesh and blood, Ephesians 6, 12 and 13, then you'll begin to understand that there is a war going on against the body of Christ, and it is intended to destroy it from within. Okay? So, what I'm saying to you is not to reprimand you, but to give you a guard. A guard over your own heart. And if someone is divisive, you can say to them very nicely, I don't agree. Our God is able to heal the broken. He came to set the captives free. Thank you. So what's the purpose of the house of prayer? To set the captives free. Not to destroy them, not to accuse, not to bring deception and all that other stuff. We're here and we are all broken vessels. And these broken vessels will have compassion for one another. Not deception to climb a ladder that is self-sustaining. So I had this one particular person that came to me and wanted to work on the prayer line, etc., etc. And they're no longer in this region, so don't even think that you know who they are, because you don't. Anyway, to make a long story short, they were extremely dedicated. They worked like a slave. I mean, everything to please me that you could consider. And I went up to Pastor Gino and I said, I'm having a small problem. He said, what's that? I said, I got this person that's working with us on the prayer line. And I said, they're driving me up a tree. He says, I hope it's Calvary's tree. I said, no, it's not. It's an irritable tree. Because I says, I sense there's a double purpose. He says, well, it could be. I said, how well do you know this particular family? He says, Kim, I don't know them at all. So he says, I guess God is going to test you in this, huh? I really didn't want to hear that. But it was God's way. How many know you'll get tested? Okay? So it went on for several months, and I could get praise reports. Okay? How many know King David had a son who was loving to make his father look like a fool? I won't go there. It's not time. But the bottom line was that I could start seeing little tiny nudges of self-worship. I'm right and they're wrong. Yes, I'll use the scripture, but I'll use it my way to build myself up so that I and my plan will come to fruit. And I didn't hear it directly. I heard it by others who had the right heart. How many know there's people that have a heart to serve the body of Christ, and they're not motivated to serve themselves? And I could see the difference. And this one true heart came to me and said, you know, when you're not around, this particular individual that loves to do for you, it's not that way at all. They're kind of mistreating and bullying the saints. And I thought, oh my God. And I had noticed that the people on the prayer lines, the regular callers, you know, you had all kinds of people that were calling quite often, they were starting to change. And I thought, oh my goodness. Well, this individual was starting to lay the law down according to their plan. How many know the law kills? So I could see that there was destruction, and it was given in the name of the church. And I thought, oh Lord, So I cried out to him. I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? He says, gather all these and bring them in your office, but make sure you tell Pastor first. So I went upstairs and I told him, I said, well, I am about to bring an exposing of these divisive planning that I can discern with. And I'm about to bring them together, and I want you to be aware, and do you approve? He said, well, the scripture says, go to your brother. Did you go to these? And I says, yes, I did all the homework. I said, but I believe now it's time for us to gather all these that are, you know, because the dissension was really forming, and it was getting ugly. One was against this one was against that one. That's my friend, that one, don't pick on me, you know, and it was ugly. So I made a quality decision to declare that we were going to have a meeting. I believe we were five or six in my office, which wasn't that big. That was the one downstairs, which was kind of crowded, but sat them around the desk and we began to pray. And guess what? You can expose the enemy. I made sure they knew that I wasn't after any individual, but I was after forces of darkness that had been deceptive and divisive. So, to my surprise, the ones that were the most active spoke the least. The one, I really was surprised that in a sense I wasn't, but the ones that were really guilty hardly said a word. And I thought, my God, these are the biggest complainers. But then when it was really time to expose, they weren't interested in saying one word. So after the meeting, Pastor asked me how it went, and I said, well, I told him what you said, what I just said to you. I said, the real divisive individuals were so quiet. He says, did you ask why? I said, gee, no, I didn't. He said, did you ever put a creature of darkness in a lit room? Did you ever lift up a rock and let the sun shine where these little creatures don't like? What do they do? No. He says, you couldn't expose them because they went into hiding. Okay. I said, Lord, what's the next level? He said, why don't you just agree with those that are the true hearts? Pray that these that are not of a true heart find their exit. Oh, okay, Lord, we can do this. So I agreed with, I think it was two, that I could really know had a heart to serve. And I agreed with them that the Lord would clean house. And guess what he did? He exposed one after another, after another. And it was done sovereignly by him. And I can remember one particular individual who was so sweet in the open. But the ugliness came as I was returning from somewhere, and I just walked in the midst of their reprimand to a very, very beautiful saint that had done absolutely nothing wrong. And the reprimand went on, and it was a forceful situation, and it was an irritating thing, and I heard everything, and they never saw me until it was already too late. And I thought, oh my God, Lord, this is so good. Now what do you want me to do? He says, bring that one in your office now. Deal with it. So I did. They wept. They cried. They gave me a demonstration that was beyond understanding. How many know you can tell when it's fake? This thing was so fake. And several months later, they exited and they left. And I said to the Lord, why? He says, what did you learn? Why did I need Judas on my team? How many of you have ever seen a Judas on your team? Thank you. Why is or he or she, because it can be male or female, it doesn't matter. The deceiving forces can be there for a reason and for a season, and they are anointed of God to get you to what?
Grow.
Not grown. We have an ability ability to groan sometimes because we get offended by these forces. God has allowed darkness to come in so that you and I can grow and mature and intercede for them. Intercede for them. Do not look at them as your problem. Look at them as God's ability to set them free. And if he can't set them free, he'll deal with them, not you. Now, again, verse 19. For while your loyalty and obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you, I would have you well versed. Why? He wants to know how you are going to follow the scriptural way of dealing with those that you have a problem with. And he wants you to be wise as to what is good and innocent and guileless. No second motive. And to what is evil. And the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your neighbor's feet. Is that what your Bible says? Yeah, my misprint, right? Well, in my Bible, it says my feet. It says the God of peace. Well, if you are all shook up, are you under the anointing of the God of peace? No. If you're all bent out of shape and angry, what's happening? The wrong anointing. Amen? And the God of peace will soon crush. How many know God's soon and your soon and my soon can be quite different? And I'm laughing because sometimes I said, Lord, you said soon. What is soon to you? Yeah, it can be quite a while. Soon crush Satan under your feet. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, be with you. The grace should have a circle around it. If it doesn't have a circle around it, you're not focused on what he wants to give you to survive. If you don't have grace to survive, you're going to flop. You won't pass the test. You see, I can give grace to everybody, but I sometimes forget to give grace to who? Me. I can remember one time we had a marvelous individual that was going through an incredible trial. And we had a prophetic man of God that came into the house. And he stood this man up and he brought him to the front and he said, with your permission, sir, can I obey the Lord? And the man said, yes, absolutely. And the man got up and the man of God went like this. And he whacked him in the chest. And every time he whacked him in the chest, he would shout, grace! And the whole church looked at him. Oh, my God. And he says, grace! And he whacked him in the chest again. And, you know, the whole church is like, what in the world is he doing? He's beating him up. Yes, he was beating him up with what? Unmerited favor. He was going to get what he didn't deserve. He was going to get filled with God's grace, and he wanted the body of Christ to get an example. Stop picking on yourself. Stop pounding garbage into you. Oh, I'm no good. I mean, I always end up with the bottom of the stick. Why is it that I'm never successful? What are you pounding then? What are you giving yourself? What are you prophesying about your tomorrow? Come on, free up your right hand. You might as well stand. Might be a good idea. Come on, put your Bible down. Because you see, you're not going to do it any other way. And if you make a decision today to give grace to yourself, what's going to happen? You're going to be able to give some to somebody else. Amen? Amen. Say, Lord Jesus, put your hand up.
Lord Jesus.
Fill my right hand with your grace right now.
Grace right now.
And I'm going to shout.
Fill
Grace to my body. And grace to my heart. Right now. I shout grace to my heart. I shout grace to my spirit.
I shout grace to my
body. And I shout grace to the brokenness of my body.
And my heart.
And my emotions. And I will succeed. Because God's got a plan for me. And it's going to be by grace.
And grace alone.
That I will succeed. And if I'm full of grace, like Mary, God will declare, full of grace, ready for pregnancy. Bring more of Jesus in me, Lord.
Bring more of Jesus.
I don't mind being pregnant with him.
I
want more of him, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now look at your neighbor. Say, today you're full of grace. And more of Jesus.
Is
coming into us.
Into
for God's glory.
For God's glory.
For God's glory. Thank you, Lord. Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher, lift him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto thee. You may be seated. I want to give you the verse 25 because it's very important. Verse 25 says, now to him who is able to strengthen you in faith, which is in accordance with my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, according to the revelation, the unveiling of the mysteries of the plan of redemption, which was kept in silence and in secret for long ages. You see, the truth can set us free. Revelation knowledge was needed for me every step of the way. And if I didn't ask for grace, I couldn't go any further. I was in judgment. I was in criticalness. I was in fault finding. Against me first. And God says, look, I've cleaned you up. Did his blood miss a couple of spots? Baloney. He did a great job. It's me that's the unbeliever. That I couldn't be loved. It's me that's the unbeliever that I couldn't be blessed. It's me that was the unbeliever that said, I can't be healed. I'm not valuable enough to have a normal relationship with God. What is a normal relationship with God? I'm his son. He's my papa. Try it on. Say, I'm his child. He's my father. And if by grace he set his son to set me free. It's time I accept it. And it's time I believe it. I'm a saint under construction. Not quite perfect yet, except for a few. I don't know if they have any guile. I'm not going to go there. So anyway, do you want to add to that, sis?
She's already arrived.
She's arrived.
That's right.
Awesome. So we've got one that arrived.
That's right.
Good news. If we can't laugh at ourselves, we're in trouble. Amen. Oh, you're already there. Again, we're looking at verse 25. To him who is able to strengthen me. Who is able to strengthen you when you're weak? God is. In my faith. What is my faith? It's to believe that he's able to do what he said he would do. Which is in accordance with my gospel. Which is in accordance with my good news. Preaching of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, according to the revelation, the unveiling of the mystery of the plan of redemption, which was kept in silent and in secret for long ages, but is now disclosed. Now should have a circle around it. And through the prophetic scriptures is made known to all nations according to the command of the eternal God to win them to obedience to the faith. And to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. Amen. It's a lot of great works there, just in those last few verses. And there's an awareness that God is intending to change the nations. And he's going to use who? You. He's going to use us. And he's going to coordinate us and make us instruments of his grace. But you can't be an instrument of his grace unless you put more grace in. How often do you need grace? You might pound your chest tomorrow morning, all right? When you first rise out of bed, Lord Jesus, I need your grace today, so I'm going to speak grace to me. I'm going to speak favor to my heart, to my emotions. Don't be afraid to respond with compassion to yourself. In Jesus' name. Yep.